The ins and outs of series writing, coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. Showcasing Christian authors from all over the world. England, Canada, India, Thailand, UK, USA. It's Tuesday night, and this is The Right Stuff with your host, the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. Cole. Another edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the show. Today it's going to be a more topical topic as we talk about the ins and outs of series writing. And the question I want to pose to you is that should you, as a writer, invest creative effort in writing a series? Now, it's a question that's extremely nuanced, and I'm going to use everything I've learned so far throughout my writing career to help you answer that question. And with me is my good friend Lynn Donovan, who also has a number of series under her belt, and we're going to be talking about the ins and outs of this process. We're going to talk about what a series is, how it differs from being a serial, what do you need to consider if you're going to write a series. How does a series help you with your readership building? How does it help you with your process as a writer? There's a lot of pros and cons to writing a series, and we want to give you the best information possible. So stay tuned right there, and we will be with you in just a few moments. I want to definitely thank you for your support of my newest release, A Groom for Altar. I got to tell you, I have been overwhelmed and blessed by your response. Currently, that is a bestseller in Black and African American Christian fiction, something I did not expect to happen. And it's just amazing to see that. It is part of the Blizzard Bride series. So if you want to go on Amazon.com and just type in Blizzard Bride, you'll see the whole slew of books that are under that series. It is also the continuation of my book, The Butterscotch Bride, which has also been doing quite well. Again, your response to my writing has been absolutely phenomenal. I cannot thank you enough. A Groom for Altar just released yesterday, so I hope you go ahead and pick up your copy of that book. As always, we want to thank our supporters, our Patreon team, for their support. I sometimes forget to thank them, but I really do thank them for their support. So to my Patreon team, thank you so much for being a part of what Bright Stuff is all about, which is showcasing Christian authors all over the world. If you want to be a part of this ministry, prayerfully consider doing that, and then go to patreon.com/writestuff and consider becoming a PIN member for $10 a month. There are other levels there that you can reach out to and decide if this is the right place to put your dollars in for 2021. We want to thank our corporate sponsor, Christian Book Club, for their support. To find out how they can help you build your readership, go to christianbookclub.net. We also want to thank our partner, Radio App. Radio App is an app solely dedicated to showcasing Christian authors all over the world, just like The Right Stuff does, but it's as an app. And what we want to do is help create an app that is solely dedicated with books to the Most High. And so whether it's fiction or nonfiction, you'll be able to upload your books into this app. And to find out more about that, simply go to radioapp.com. If you want to weigh in on our topic, you know you can. All you have to do is call in at 646-668-8485 and press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, #WriteStuff, with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm-influenced unrelated classifications? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Follow at Readio App today on social media or visit readioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Readio, the best app for the Most High-influenced ebooks and audiobooks.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So glad you're here with me. We'll be talking about the ins and outs of series writing. And as I said before the break, series writing, I think, is a great way for an author to build their backlist. But there are other nuances that you need to consider if you wanted to decide if this is an option for you. We all know that readers do like to get immersed into a series. They like to follow the characters through their adventures, relationships, or what have you. And a series is a great way to do that. But there are some things you need to know about writing a series. And I've been blessed in the last several years to have written in several series. And I think I've learned enough to share it with you. But in case I don't know a lot, my good friend Lynn Donovan is going to help me underpin my thoughts here as we talk about the ins and outs of series writing. If you have a question, feel free to call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live, or you can hit me on Twitter, hashtag write stuff with your question or comments. I'll be more than happy to answer those questions to the best of my ability. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest co-host and contributor today, Lynn Donovan. Lynn, how are you doing today?
I am awesome. Parker, how are you?
I am fine, my darling. You know, those of people who don't know, me and Lynn are very good friends. So my darling may pop out more than once throughout this interview. But she's going to be helping me, and Lynn and I go back several years now, and we've written together on many different projects, and we've also have solo projects we've worked on. And so we want to talk about the ins and outs of series writing, and Lynn is really good at doing that. So we're going to talk about it and give you some pointers that we've learned along the way. We don't profess to be like the experts at this thing, but when you've written as much as Lynn has, I want you to say me, when you've written as much as Lynn has, you start to pick up a pattern, you start to pick up some do's and don'ts, and so we're going to share that with you. So Lynn, go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners today.
Well, my name is Lynn Donovan, and I live in Colorado, so Parker and I don't live very close together, but thanks to modern media, we're able to literally talk to each other every day. I started publishing in 2011, and I think I have like 55 books on record in Amazon now. A lot of them were series with other authors, what we call multi-author series. And so I'm really excited about this topic today because I think as a beginning writer, getting in on a multi-author series is probably one of the best things you can do just to help propel your name and get it in front of readers that you otherwise would have had a really hard time getting in front of. I mostly write historical romance, late 1800s is what I like to work in, but I have some contemporaries as well, and I have a few Christmas books that are contemporaries, and then I just have some, as an author, ideas come to you, and so you run with them and you write. So I have some contemporaries, and I have a few sci-fi, fantasy stories out there too. So, I mean, if you are a voracious reader and love to read all kinds of different type stories, I'm an author for you because I've got all kinds of stuff out there for you to read.
And Lynn definitely does. And she just told you that big whopping number of 55 works. So letting you know definitely that there's something out there for you. And it's funny because some of those works are pretty much some of them are collected together, some with MAP, some of her own. So it's really interesting. It's really interesting to see how that works out. And one of the things that she mentioned was a multiple author project, which is called MAPs. And those are really dominated by the romance industry. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show here. So let's talk about series real quick. So one of the questions I know that people are going to ask is, what is the difference between a series and a serial? Okay. Now, a series is a collection of stories that can be read as a standalone. So it's not necessarily important for you to read each book in this series in the same order. Whereas a serial, you have to read it in order to fully appreciate what the narrative is going to be about. That's it in its truncated version. And an example of a serial that I can think of, I can't think of anything. I just literally went blank just now. But I was thinking about maybe like radio serials that people have when they tune into different podcasts and they have a story. They say, tune in next week for the next edition of whatever this show is. So I think of those as serials where each week you follow the exploits of these characters. Whereas in a series, like what we have, each book can be a standalone, or interestingly enough, they can also be connected, and they're interconnected by different events. So it's really nuanced in what a series and a serial is. What are your thoughts about that, Lynn?
You know, when I think of a serial, I think of TV shows like Friends. You know, you had a development of characters over, gosh, how many years were they on the TV? Like eight years, you know? And towards the end, you had, Monica and Chandler got married, and you had Rachel that had Ross's baby, and you know, and everybody kind of slowly over 8 years time worked their relationships out. Whereas with a series, you open up the book and at least one couple starts a journey in romance, let's say, a journey towards developing a relationship with each other. And by the end of that book, if it's a romance, they should be married. You know, we should be witnessing their wedding, you know. And so to me, that's the difference is, like I said, the series, you've got a beginning, you've got an end, and you have a finality a happy ever after. Whereas a serial, they're going to develop slowly over the course of however long that serial goes. You know, one of the serials that we got cheated out on was Gilligan's Island, because they really didn't get off the island, because I think they ran out of funding or something and they just stopped the show, and everybody was like, what? You know, you hate that. And as a reader, you hate that too. So it's very important as an author that, whether you're a pantser or a planner, you've got to have some kind of plan to get to the end so the reader's going to be satisfied when they finally get to that last book.
And I should also make a caveat here that Lynn and I do write primarily in romance, so we may have, most of our conversation may relate to romance, but I don't see how that would not apply to other genres, because it's the mechanics that we're talking about. In this case, Lynn and I both write happily ever after romances. And some people say, oh, my gosh, you guys are so full of fluff. I'm like, whatever, okay? And then there are those who do happily for now. They do HFN, which is happily for now. And we do historical, so ours tend to be sweet, on the sweet side. So there are just different mechanics to our industry. So please take this advice and use it toward your industry, which one that you are currently in. So use it towards that. You don't have to use it toward the romance industry. But we're going to be talking romance because it is a big genre. According to some statistics I've seen, it's the biggest genre in romance. A lot of people, when they hear romance, they kind of roll their eyes and go, oh, it's a sex book. And it's like, it's a sex book. We don't write sex books. You know what I mean? It may have a little steam in it, but we don't write sex books, you know. And not saying that they're not out there either, but that's another subject for another time. And so we've discussed what a series and a serial is, what the difference is. Now we're going to talk about why authors may want to consider putting their creative efforts into writing a series. Before I do that, I do want to read a comment that I received from someone, and his name is Michael. And Michael said here, I just got to go back to the computer here. Michael said, some may stand alone or more, and some may lead to a series. Either is okay. A series may allow for more character development and introducing new ones. And that is what Michael said, too. And one of the things that I found extremely interesting, which we can definitely touch base on, is that when you are writing a series, let's say you start with one main protagonist in your story, and then he or she starts as one way, and by the end of the series, they end up a whole different way. So it's this really interesting exploration into a character's development. You and I can just look at ourselves, Lynn. Lynn, long time ago, you were a child, okay? Mm-hmm. You were a bouncy, beautiful child.
I still
child.
Am, but I'm and in a bigger body.
It's just a bigger body, and it's changing
I would like
all the
to
time.
Think that my character. Yes, I would like to think that my character arc has improved over time.
You like to think so, but is that really the case, Lynn?
I'm pretty sure. I feel a little wiser than I did when I was a teenager. So, you know, because I do think of those, you know, only I knew now what I should have known then and could go back in time.
Yeah, but I like Michael's point that he said here is the fact that you do have the opportunity to develop a character. And in this case, this is when the series is interconnected with the story. And I think of series like Divergent. I think of The Hunger Games. I think of what's another one? Well, you know, I'm an alien girl, so Aliens, Alien franchise, The Following Ripley, Terminator, Black Panther, even though it's not out yet, we know it's going to change. I'm thinking of hero movies, superhero movies. So we have these protagonists that start off one way and end up another way. Now, we're using movies as an example, but you can also see how this relates to your writing. So you have character A, who starts off as a whiny baby, always complaining about something to where they don't do that by book. Let's say book three, you want to see what that journey looks like. And what's really interesting about writing is that readers do get heavily involved. If you write a really good book, they get heavily involved in the series. Let's talk about our experience with our readers in the romance community who likes these stories that we write. And so for you, Lynn, I want you to talk about your Sons of Honor series.
Sons of Honor actually kind of became a spinoff of a series that Parker and I both wrote in, and it was called Lantern in the Window. But our last book was Lantern of Honor, which was about a woman named Honor. She had six sons, and so therefore we took it ahead, like into the future, 15 years. Those six sons are now grown, and it was six books about each one of those boys and who they ended up being married to and how they worked that relationship out. Now, what was really interesting was that I literally wrote this series in 60 days. I wrote those six books in 60 days. But while I was writing them, I was staying in contact with my reader group on Facebook. God bless Facebook for this, being able to speak to your readers as you're going along. And I mean, they were clamoring. They loved the little excerpts that I would give them. They were mad at me over certain things because they thought I was taking it a certain way. You know, it's kind of like never kill the family pet sort of a thing. And they would say, oh, please let such and such, you know, let so-and-so walk again. And don't do this and don't do that. And it really did influence me in my writing because I might have initially had the idea that, you know, someone was going to stay paralyzed. And then because they were clamoring so much, I let him not walk again, but he got stronger and was able to stand and stuff like that. So is that giving away too much in the series?
Probably. Probably.
It shows how the readers being involved, and as an author, you have got to be involved with your readers and listen to them and let them tell you things and then give that to them. I mean, that's a gift to them, and they love it when they read something that they know you got from them. And sometimes I let them name characters, or sometimes I'll name a character after one of my readers that's, you know, contributed some kind of idea, and then I'll also give them one of the books. But that kind of interaction with your readers is what makes you, you know, get a little moolah in the end, because they love it and they'll stay with you and they become your fans. And that's, you know, you want those fans, because that's what lets you continue to be a reader, is when they buy your books. So it's wonderful.
Another thing too about series writing is that you do have the opportunity, particularly when you have a standalone series. And let me clarify, standalone series is that, let's say book one has couple A, book two has couple B, book three has couple C. If you're using just one main character, it's an arc. Maybe it's an arc about how they find out they have superpowers. Arc is one is done. The second arc, they just start to develop their superpowers and it gets more intricate, and they get their first antagonist, book two. Book three is that the antagonist and the superhero get together, and then he becomes the superhero's minion, book three. And so it doesn't matter. So whatever that series arc is, or whatever those couples are, they can be standalone and still work together. I've had a couple of authors on this show. I'm thinking very quickly, James Hannibal, he was on the show. We talked about his book, Chasing a White Lion, and he has a series, but they're all standalone. But I always want to read a series in order. It doesn't matter if it's standalone or not, because the author is going to make reference to the first book in the series. And all of a sudden, I was reading James's book, Chasing the White Lion, and also I said, oh my goodness, is that the first book in the series? You know? He's like, no, it's not. I'm like, oh gosh, I need to stop and go back and pick up the first book. But that's what's really unique about making the series a standalone, is that you don't have to read the first book, but they will make references to that series, particularly a long-running series. Mm-hmm. So that's just a couple of things to talk about why to get in the series. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking more about the ins and outs of series writing. We're taking your questions. You can call in at 646-668-8485. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Hi, my name is Kevin Newsom, and I am the host of the Christian Arts and Entertainment Podcast. I am an author, musician, and worship pastor. On my podcast, we talk art and entertainment in all its forms: music, writing, movies, art, and more. Join us each week as we wrestle with two questions: what is a Christian artist's responsibility when creating art, and what is a Christian consumer's responsibility when consuming art? You'll find the Christian Arts and Entertainment Podcast on your favorite podcast platform and in full video on YouTube. Go to www.pressepic.com for more information. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube and in your podcast app, and I'll see you soon.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Bright Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, we are talking about the ins and outs of series writing with my guest, co-host, and contributor today, Lynn Donovan. She's the author of a number of books. You can look them all up on Amazon. But what we want to share with you is our experience with writing series. And Lynn is going to help us, help me and you today with understanding what writing a series is all about. So before the break, we talked about the difference between a series and a serial. We talked about the benefits of having your readers involved in your series. We talked about making sure you're engaged with your readers. And now we're going to go a little further about why, let's say, a new author should consider writing a series. And Lynn, one of the things you mentioned about a new author, particularly writing a series, has to do with getting people to take you seriously in the writing community, I think, and for reader community as well. That's what I think. But go ahead and tell us, why do you think an author should invest in writing a series when they first get started?
Well, what you said is exactly right. If you get yourself in a multi-author series, that means that you are writing a book. Let's just go into our little fantasy world, and let's say we're writing a multi-author series with James Patterson, Stephen King, and somebody. And, you know, so here I am, little old Lynn in little old Colorado, and I've got this small reader group. But my book is going to be included in this multi-author series. So when this multi-author series gets released, the books get released one at a time. There's a certain time frame between each one. It might be every week, it might be every 2 weeks, it might be once a month, but one by one the books get released. Well, you're going to put your strong players up front. So Stephen King's going to publish his first, James Patterson might publish his next, and then you publish yours. Well, you've got this readership of thousands of readers who are waiting for the next book. Well, guess what? That next book's yours. And this is a reader base that you probably could have not reached on your own. And so it can literally launch a career for you as a writer to be involved in a multi-author series that have got some big hitters in it. And that, to me, is the number one reason why an author that is, shall we say, starting out and hasn't really built her readership yet, that's why that author wants to be in a good multi-author series, because you can't get there the way you're going to get there with that you know, lineup of authors ahead of you.
Well, let me clarify too, Lynn, because that's concerning a multiple author series. I wasn't necessarily talking about a multiple author series just yet. I was talking about a solo series.
Sorry.
But that's okay. But like Sons of Honor is your solo series. That's your solo series.
True.
You wrote that completely on your own. But Lantern in the Window is a multiple author series that you and I did, mm-hmm. because it's more than one mm-hmm. author. Go figure, right?
So, right.
And then the Blizzard Brides that we're in. Multi, right? So that's it. But you still make a good point about the series with the multiple author series. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. So you kind of hit the tip right there.
Sorry.
But there's still nuances to the multiple author projects, too, that we'll talk about in a minute. When talking about a solo series, what happens is that you get a chance that readers can say, oh, there's 5 books in this series. And when you're writing a solo series, you have complete control over the series, complete control of the direction it's going to go. For us in the romance community, is usually couple-centered. And so let's say couple A, like I said earlier, deals with something. And so when you're writing a series, mm-hmm. you want to consider your world building. And your world building is going to be extremely important for how this series is going to progress. Now, as most people know, I am a pantser. Lynn is a pantser. We're mm-hmm. both pantsers, so we get along so well. But Lynn is extremely judicious with time. She's not as scattered as I am. So Lynn will sit there and she'll think about her story. Even though she's a pantser, she'll think about where she wants it to go, and then she'll write it. And then she's done, 7 days later, she rests and she writes the book. So that's what Lynn
does. Yeah, like I said, I wrote those 6 books in 60 days. So, I can work them out when I need to. But
then her hand cramps up.
But,
the handcraft stuff.
I did. I had to wear a brace. I had to wear a brace on my arm afterwards for a little while. No, but the advantage of you as a single author writing your own series is that you have complete control over your story. You don't have to get anyone's permission, you know, to have a fountain in the middle of the park or to have a park in the middle of the town. You know, you can do that. I broke a cardinal rule in Sons of Honor because when you have a couple come together in romance, you have got to give the reader their happy ever after. In other words, they want to see the wedding. And I actually did not give them a wedding in the first book. But the wedding was the beginning of the next book, which was actually about the next son's story and his relationship. So you can do those kind of things when it's your own series. There's no way I could have done that if that was a multi-author series, because the next author would have been very upset with me for having them write the wedding in there.
Right. And just again, just so our listeners know, this is nuances to Romancelandia, which is the whole industry of romance writing. So some people don't like weddings, some people do, but in our industry, our market, this is what happens. So just want to clarify that continually. But we'll think about solo series too, is that you will have, let's say, we'll do a simple like trilogy. You have a trilogy, let's say, and that trilogy shows, hey, there's more to this story than what I originally thought. And if you write the story, as you work on your world building, you want to make sure that each book in that series, either if it ends on a cliffhanger, I would suggest that you already have the second book done. But if it ends with a complete arc that's completed and then we're going to another destination, then I think that's better. And one of the reasons why some readers hate cliffhanger endings, because if the second book's not out, they really get upset. You've all seen those reviews online where a reader would get very upset that they say, I bought this book and it ended on a cliffhanger and I'm so upset because the book won't be out until 2023. That type of thing, you know, or whatever. So they get very upset with you.
I can't wait.
And, you know, especially if it's really good. Now, if it's really bad, you may, most of my authors don't, all my authors don't write bad. So that's not the problem. But we definitely want to make sure that if you're going to write a series, if you're going to end on a cliffhanger, it is my opinion that you have the second book done. It's my opinion because we all hate cliffhangers. It's like when you watch a movie and what was everybody had a heart attack with Avengers, when everybody disappeared and Thanos snapped. And everyone's like, no, all my people that I love died. And they got wiped out. This is that you had to wait how long for the next movie? It hurt, right?
It
definitely hurt your heart crunch. So it's my opinion that if you're going to end on a cliffhanger for your series, that you have at least the next book out. But if you have a complete arc that has some lingering questions that can be developed in the next book, then definitely do that. Then I don't think you have to have that done right away. So next, my question too, then, is this. How often should a writer who's writing a solo series, how often should they get the next book in the series done? Now, I know this varies on genre and varies on the writer's creative process. It varies on their story. Lots of things impact this. But in your opinion, and I know we write in romance too. We write in a very niche market here. Mm-hmm. Just in your opinion, what do you think should be a schedule for a series writer?
You know, I think the readers are so voracious and they just eat up these series. So really not making them wait very long is a really good idea if it's possible. Like in Sons of Honor, I wrote them in 60 days and I published them in 60 days. So they were getting one a week. And they loved it. And so by the end of a month, you know, 2.5 months, they had all the books and they knew the whole story and they were very satisfied series. I used to be really into reading that series about Bones. You know, they had a TV show called Bones and the character was also in the books, and her books came out once a year, and oh my goodness, it was just so far between. You're just like, no, I want to know what happened. Now, she didn't necessarily leave it the books didn't leave you with a cliffhanger. They were more of a serial where each book had a beginning and an end. But you loved the series so much and you loved the character so much that you just hated to wait that year to hear the next story. So, for like I'm using the Sons of Honor as an example, we had these six sons, and you knew something about them in each book because obviously they're brothers and they're in the same town. They all live together. They've all interact with each other. So you had some idea of things going on in their life. So I think it was very, like, satisfying, like, quick satisfaction of, you know, what is it, that gratification kind of thing, you know, that you want pretty quick. So I really feel like a week to 2 weeks, no longer than 2 weeks, is a good spacer for a series, especially when they're interconnected like that.
Again, is our market. We're talking Romancelandia. So I'll broaden that for our authors out there, because they're like, a week? I cannot write that week. So we should know that we are writing shorter works. Lynn and I write shorter works. We understand our market, and our readers like that. They want a quick read. But if you're writing bigger works, you know, let's say 50,000 to 100,000 or whatever, it doesn't matter. You want to make sure that you give yourself enough time to write that book. You don't want to rush it. You know, you don't want to rush it. We don't rush our books either, to be honest with you. We're not rushing our books.
No.
We're basically being very diligent in our writing. We just learn how to write tighter because we're writing shorter works. And so let's say you
–
go ahead.
May I say, if you were writing more than 80,000 words, or let's just say an even number, 100,000 words, if your books are 100,000 words and you are going to write a trilogy – my suggestion to you would be to get all three of them written and then start releasing them. And granted, with 100,000 words, you could release them further apart. But I think it's very advantageous to you to hang on to that first one. Don't get it released, because it then you're ready to release that next one. And if they're clamoring for it, you can get it out there. Whereas if you're sweating over the computer trying to get the next one written, that's too much stress. I mean, life is just too short to be that stressed out.
One thing that Amazon did when it entered into the e-publishing industry and totally changed the genre was that a reader had made a comment that, you know, I've read so many indie author books within the year that this big major author had written one book. And that's what's really interesting about the indie author industry, is that we publish on our schedule. We publish when we're ready. So if you were publishing a book once a week, we know a couple of authors who publish a book a week. We know a couple of them. And not just some people, you're sitting there like, how is that possible? Well, they're more diligent than I am. They know how to write, and they know their market. And so it really depends on you, how you want to get your series out. But I do agree with you, Lynn. Like, if your book is, like, in 100,000 words and you're writing a series, so that's 300,000 words, let's say, at least have the second book out. Lynn says have all three out, but I would say at least have the second book out before you release the first. Because if you're going indie route. Now, if you're going to a publisher, that's totally different. They're going to have their timetable that they're working with. But we're really talking about the ins and outs of series writing. And we're hoping that we're answering your questions that you may have had that you're thinking of too. If you're like us and you're writing in the shorter works and you're writing to a particular niche market, and those readers, like I said, they're very voracious, going to be something that you're going to have the market dictate to you. For example, audiobooks for the romance reader, they're getting more women, and this is honest to goodness truth, Lynn, this is statistical data. More women are starting to listen to audiobooks with romance, but for a while they weren't, because they could probably read them faster than the audiobook can say them. They can, because shorter works. So, go ahead.
Yeah, I've had readers say that to me, that they could read them faster than the audio can read it to them. But
yeah,
those
like,
women
it's
who
point.
Work, I have a friend who works in Colorado Springs, which is about an hour drive every day to work and from work. And so she loves to get audiobooks and listens to them while she's on the road. So I could see where that is becoming a good market for women.
But when it first came out, a lot of men, and this is statistical data, not me being a whatever, it's statistical data, they were saying that a lot of men were reading or were listening to audiobooks because they were mostly sci-fi, mystery, thriller books. Mm-hmm. Because romance readers generally are eating up the romance books. Generally, they're generally women, you know, generally speaking. And we're talking all sorts of romance, not just Sweet and Clean, but all romance. They were doing that. But they're getting more women listening to audio because they're getting the process. They're really, what's the word I want to use, Lynn? They're really fine-tuning that process. They're fine-tuning that process. So, yeah, so that's one thing to consider about that. So we talked about what a serial is. We talked about our suggestion for books when they get your serial out, how you can do that. Now let's talk about these multiple author projects. Now, Lynn gave it away a little bit, but with multiple author projects, it's not enough to just publish. Multiple author projects work when you market. And you also want to make sure that if you're going to do a multiple author project, that you have a good crop of authors. And that sounds horrible, like they're growing out of the grass or something. But,
well, it's a team. Yeah, it's a team. And that team has to work together. You can't have, you know, a machine where the cogs start flying out of the machine and then it doesn't work. And it's the same for a multi-author series. You've got to have people that mesh and communicate and will work together and are flexible. You've got to be flexible because, like I said, if you want a fountain in the middle of the park in the middle of the town and you got somebody else who's like, there's no way there would even be a park in the middle of the town. You know, you've got to be able to work together and finding that right, it's almost like tuning something, you know, and just finding that right team is a little bit of a challenge, but my goodness, it's worth it because when you get a good team, you get a good multi-author series, it will, like I said, it will launch your career to a whole new level.
But you have to get authors who have bigger pools. So if I don't know anyone and Lynn doesn't know anyone and Rebecca doesn't know anyone, and Martha doesn't know anyone. No one knows anyone. So you make this author project, and still, no one knows anyone, okay? Just the four people you all know have read each other's books. So you definitely, if you're going to structure an MAP, you want to definitely, you know, reach out to authors who may be willing to help. Now, not every author is going to do it because of the fact that when you're working with authors, you're working with a lot of creative what's the word? Creative energy. I don't use that word loosely, energy, loosely. But you work with a lot of creatives, and creatives are all different. They all have their way of approaching things. And so Lynn used the example of a fountain in the middle of the park. But I have seen details like that hold up an MAP from being written because everyone's complaining about whether or not this fountain should be in the park. And you're like, it doesn't matter, park and Lynn. But for that author who's looking at it, no, because they think differently than I do. When I'm in the MAP, I tend to go with the flow. Like, what do you guys want to do? What's the premise? What we're going to do? That's what I do. But some other people, they're like, no, we have to have this all set. It has to be this. So if you're going to do an MAP, look at who your heavy hitters are in that industry. See if they'd be willing to do it. They may not be willing to do it. And we're not talking. I'm pretty sure you can't get Stephen King to do your MAP. I'm pretty sure
you can't.
So? I don't think so. I don't think so. It would be nice if he were to come on and write.
I said it was a fantasy idea.
Yeah, it's a fantasy with Stephen King and James Patterson.
You could get our Christine Sterling, who's a very dear friend of ours now, who's got a wide range. We've got Kit Morgan, who's got a huge readership, you know, and so there are people out there who will participate in multi-author series with new authors, you know, but you've got to behave as a new author. You've got to behave, and you've got to, I don't know if you have to learn to be a team member, but you've certainly got to be a team member on one
For
of
sure.
those. So
Yeah, and it's not just publishing. You have to market. That means you have to look at what works. You may have to take out – you may not even have to take out ads or anything. I'm not saying you have to spend money, but that could be something that you talk about with your team members if you are doing a multiple author series, if you're doing that. That's something you would all figure out and talk about. But it's more than just publishing a book. You have to market. And marketing for most authors, we hate to market because it's such a massive beast and there's a lot that goes on with it. But – so we're giving you some ideas about the ins and outs of series writing. We also talked about world building. Make sure your world building is set. No matter what genre you're in, if you're going to do a series, whether it's a solo series by yourself or if you're going with other authors, make sure your world building is set. Make sure if you're going to end on a cliffhanger, I am of the opinion that you have the second book or the third book, whatever, already written.
Yeah.
Lynn suggests if your books are 100,000 more and you already have a difficult time getting those books out, then make sure your second book is already written. These are just our opinions.
Mm-hmm.
If you have something you want to share with us, you're more than welcome to call in and share them with us by calling in at 646-668-8. When we come back, we're going to give you some more tips that we've learned about series writing. So you can just call in and weigh in on the conversation. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guests.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. I've been having a fantastic time talking about the ins and outs of series writing with my good friend Lynn Donovan. And most of our experience comes from working in the romance industry with the sweet and wholesome category. But we do feel as if the suggestions and opinions that we've given you can work with any genre that you're working with. It just takes that time to don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't be afraid that, quote unquote, you're going to fail, because failure, as we learned recently on this network, is an opportunity. It's the first step to your success. So don't be afraid to try it. We talked about solo series and the benefits of series, benefits of a multi-author series. And so we're going to finally leave you with some thoughts about marketing for a series. And marketing, like I said before the break, it's a beast that many of us don't want to tackle. And so there are different ways for you to market. And some people, you may have heard these things, but they are true. And then some people, like Lynn, they're like, look, I have a hard-earned dollar, and I can't spend money. This is a hard-earned dollar, and I just can't get us any. We're going to talk about marketing real quickly. We're going to talk about free options you can use for marketing. I'll talk about some paid options, and then we'll close out our talk today. And if you are on Facebook, we're also going to do a bonus section to this series about ins and outs. We're going to be talking about the covers of a series, which is a whole different topic, but we're not going to talk about that right now. If you want to follow me on Facebook, you can, and you'll see us live talking about judging a series by its covers. All right, Lynn, so let's give our listeners out there, those of us who say, okay, I kind of like the idea of a series, we already know, and I'm just going to reiterate this, we already know that The book should be well edited, your best foot forward. You should already know this part of the game. So now we're going to talk about the marketing part. What are some low cost or free options that our listeners can take with them if they're going to market a series?
If you're writing in a standalone series, you're not working with other authors in a multi-author series, then the number one thing you can do, if you're on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Pinterest or whatever your media is that you are on, talk about your book. Do little things like cover reveals. Make it exciting. Make them want to know. You know, think of before you watch a newscast, like 15 minutes before the news comes on, they'll say, you know, the governor ran naked down the road and more news at 10, you know, and you're like, oh my goodness, I have got to wait till 10 o'clock and see what that was about. So
right.
I'm just using that as an example. So
right.
You want to do little things like that. You want to don't run naked down the street. Show the cover. But before showing it, say, hey, I'm going to show the cover at 3 o'clock. Be sure and tune, you know, be back on Facebook to see it. Or here's a 200-word snippet of this story. And just little things like that. Try to be creative. You're a writer. You know, you're creative anyway. Now, another thing you can do is a newsletter. If you don't have a pretty good size audience, and by that I mean more than 500 people on your newsletter, you're building your newsletter, then talk to your friends who are also authors and ask them to share on their newsletter and say they've got 2,000 people that get their newsletter. Just have them mention your book towards the bottom of their newsletter. So that way, that's kind of like the multi-author series. You're using somebody else's reader base to get your name in front of them. Always, always have a link to your story on Amazon or wherever they can buy it. If you have it put in paperback, you can go and talk to your local library, and you can be in public, even with the COVID, you can be in the public book signings and parties and stuff like that. If you blog, you can say something about it. Or if your author friends blog, ask them to share stuff about your book. Now, if you are in a multi-author series, then that's super easy because everybody in the series needs to be telling their reader base about everybody's book in the series as it comes out. So there again, you get to kind of borrow their reader base and get the word out that you're coming up the pipe, you know, that your book's going to be out whatever day it's going to be out. So that, you know, and that doesn't cost you anything. That's just word of mouth marketing. And I think everybody has heard the term word of mouth marketing, and it's one of the most powerful tools.
Now, some of people may say, well, you know, I want to do more than word of mouth. I want to actually put my dollars there. And I would be open to spending money to make money. And I know a lot of indie authors often say, I don't have a lot of money. And that is understandable. But one author I heard, she's a big author. She made like $1 million. She said in like 2019, she made like $1 million. And she said, why would I not spend $10 to make $20? And she said, why would I not learn how to use advertising? Why would I not put and invest into myself? Because if you can buy a cup of coffee, then you can really start to invest into yourself. So I know right now social media is under a lot of storm for different reasons we're not going to go into on this part of the show. But what is happening is that people are using social media to reach more people. So consider doing mm-hmm. Facebook ads. You want to use Facebook, fine. You can use, they got TikTok now, they have Twitter, they have all sorts of things. Let's say you don't want to use social media at all. Then you may want to pay for advertising. And how do you pay for advertising? There's different places you can go to pay for it. We use social media because social media is so big and it's massive and it reaches so many different people. You know, so you have to decide where do I want to send my money at? And I've never been afraid to do that myself. Let's say I don't want to do social media at all, but there are companies who offer services to reach readers. An example of one is e-newsreader. They're not paying for this, by the way. I just came up with this. So no one, they didn't tell me to say this. I want to clear that off. They don't know who I am at all. But like e-reader news, you can pay X number of dollars for them to go out on their e-server and you can put your book out there. There's BookBub. BookBub is a huge, massive email list that many of you already know about, and they feature bargain deals or free deals that readers can download. You pay X number of dollars for that. There is FreeBooksy. If you have a free book you want to advertise to their email server list, there's Ryan Z Marketing. They have different promotions and specials they do. Who else? Bargain,
BookFunnel,
which is part of BookFunnel, they have that.
Goodreads.
So there's different places that you can go to put your dollars at. And you want to be cost effective. You want to make sure you get a return on investment. So make sure you look at what these different places are offering, what you can get. They tend to have statistics. They'll say, we have 120,000 subscribers who want to read your books. That's information you can use. What I caution against are startups that reach out to you, because I get a lot of emails from startups who say, oh, put your book in front of 5,000 people who have subscribed to our Facebook, whatever. I said, I already have 5,000 friends. I don't need yours. So you want to go with established, reputable services that offer that. Like, for example, eReader News. I keep using them because they're in my head right now. They've been around since 2010. BookBub's been around for a long time, probably since, 20 something, I don't even know. Other places have been around for a while. So they want to go reputable places like email services that may help. So we are literally at the top of the hour here. And Lynn, I want to thank you so much for being with me on the show as we talked about the ins and outs of series writing, as we shared our experience. I hope this information was helpful to you. If you wanted to do a follow-up to this, just let me know. We'd be more than happy to do a follow-up about series writing and go into more detail about it. So, Lynn, if people want to get in contact with you, where can they find you online?
I'm on Facebook. If you will just do a search on Facebook for books by author Lynn Donovan, that's my reader group. So come on over there and let's visit. And then as I do other things, we've also got a group that is a group of authors that are in this readers group. It's called Chat, Sip, and Read. And again, you can just do a search on Facebook and you'll find me there too. Because Parker and I do another thing on Sundays over there about 4:00 Eastern. So, you can find me all over the place. but you could just mainly on Facebook. I have a Twitter account. I have an Instagram account. I haven't figured out how to use Instagram. Maybe you could teach me how to use it. But Parker, I thank you so much. I am so blessed by your friendship, and I'm so blessed to be able to be on your show. And I really, really wish you God's favor for continued success with this podcast. I think it's an amazing thing you're doing.
Thank you so much, Lynn. I appreciate you. We'll be talking in a few moments after the show about judging a series by its cover. So, Lynn, thank you for being with me. And to our listeners out there, I want to thank you for being with me today as we talked about the ins and outs of series writing. I hope you gained a lot of information from this. If you ever want to contact me, you know how to contact me. Just go to my website, parkerjcole.com. And so, my final thoughts as we end this episode is that, you can do this. If you want to write a series, you have an idea, you think you can stretch it out, however many books you want to stretch it out. I know an author who has a 14-book series. I know authors with 20-book series. I know authors with 80-book series. It doesn't matter. The thing is that whatever your series is, you can do it. We've given you the ins and outs, our suggestions, thoughts, marketing, everything that we've learned throughout this time. So I hope that you will pick up a pen. All right. Thank you so much for joining for this edition of the show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day, and God bless.